The gospel reading is always of the temptation of Christ. And this is another one of these things that's primarily in the gospels, really for our benefit. It really shouldn't be terribly surprising to us that Jesus did not fall for the temptations of the devil. All right, anybody surprised by that? Not me. Okay, I didn't think you would be either. All right? So there's not really a lot of drama in that. But this passage is very, very important. It's right at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, right after he has been baptized in the Jordan by John. He goes out to fast and to pray for 40 days, and he is tempted by the devil. Pope Benedict, in his beautiful work called Jesus of Nazareth, I would really recommend it to you as maybe Lenten reading for you. I can guarantee you, you will come to know the Lord Jesus better if you read this beautiful meditation of Pope Benedict on Jesus Christ. And in this book, in reflecting on the temptations of Christ, following very much in the tradition of some of the fathers of the church, Pope Benedict suggests that what the devil was really doing in the temptation was trying to figure out who Jesus is. Who is this person? Because, as I said, this is right at the beginning of his public ministry. He had not started any of his great works or miracles yet. And, you know, his life before this has been almost entirely in obscurity. You know, in a little village of Nazareth, living a very ordinary human life. But all of a sudden, something happens at the Jordan. And John speaks in that prophetic voice about Jesus. And the devil's, you know, sort of antenna go up. Who is this person? Because you see, one of the things about the devil is he doesn't know Jesus from the inside. He can only see what happens on the outside. That's true of us too. The devil does not know you on the inside. He can only tell for things on the outside, unless you open the door, all right? And this is what's so powerful about this gospel. It shows us how to deal with temptation. Jesus, it really, like I say, it wasn't really a big, you know, temptation for Jesus. He wasn't going to fall for any of these things. But he shows us, who are very likely to fall for these things, and even a lot simpler and dumber things, to tell you the truth, how to deal with temptation. And that is basically, don't have anything to do with it at all. Do you see what Jesus doesn't give anything away in this give and take with the devil. Do you notice these questions? Twice the devil says, if you are the Son of God. Maybe there's a little doubt in his mind. Are you the Son of God? I wonder if he is the Son of God. What does this mean if he is the Son of God? But Jesus doesn't give anything away. What he does is he comes right back at the devil. Do you notice another diabolical thing the devil does? He uses the words of sacred scripture and twists them into being a temptation. And Jesus comes right back at him each time with the words of sacred scripture, but in the right way. And he doesn't give away anything. The devil goes away from this encounter knowing no more about Jesus than he did when he started. And that's a good lesson for us. He didn't open the door. He didn't even entertain one of these temptations for a second. You know, it reminded me sometimes of these sort of fishing expeditions people going on, these emails you get or texts or calls or things you get, or whatever, of people trying to get you to, like, click on something or whatever. I had one that happened in the vestibule of this church just a few weeks ago, actually. I got a call about my Verizon account. And this person said something that I should do something and said whatever. And I got this code came to me. And he said, now, read that code to me. Well, Verizon was onto this already, apparently, because in also when I got the code, they says, do not give this number to anyone, and we will never ask this number from you. If you need to use it to reset, get into your account, feel free. But don't give it to anybody else, and we won't call you and ask for it. So I told this person, well, actually, the text from Verizon says that they won't call and ask for it, so I'm not giving you the number. He got a little huffy, to tell you the truth. And thanks be to God, I didn't give it to him. Then I called Verizon after that, and they said, it's a good thing you didn't give him that number, because they would have had direct access to your account and could have done all kinds of things. But that's what we do with the devil all the time. We go, I wonder. Click. And then all kinds of malware is all over your computer, right? Except it's not your computer, it's your soul. You all know me, I think, well enough to know that I like old sayings. Well, here's one I like. Curiosity killed the cat. I wonder kind of what this is like. And this is where you see, it's the goal of the Christian life, and in trying to battle in spiritual warfare with the devil, you can't even get into the contest, okay? Because you're gonna lose, all right? You don't open the door, because he'll slip right in. Now, the devil cannot get in unless you open the door. But you don't have to necessarily buy what he's selling. But if you let him in, he's in. And he's going to cause a lot of havoc. And he's going to make it very hard for you to resist those temptations. But when you realize that you are being tempted, you need to respond in the way the Lord Jesus did. And that was, don't give him anything. And he'll get huffy, like that guy pretending like he was from Verizon. Got huffy with me, all right? But he didn't get my account number, all right? And the devil won't get into you unless you let him. Sometimes we rationalize and think, oh, I'll just go look at this, I'll do this or whatever. I'll stew on these hurt feelings, or I'll do this or that or the other kind of thing. I'll skate right up to the edge of sin or whatever, but I'll never go over the cliff. Ah, okay? Too late. Too late. He's going to get you. The devil never gives more than he takes. You are never going to outfox the devil. You ain't that smart. The only way you can do it is to say no. Right on the front end. Now you have a lot of help in this. All right? Because as I told you before, the devil doesn't know you on the inside. But there is someone who does. God knows you on the inside. When you were a little baby, as most of you, maybe some of you are baptized as adults, you received what's called the divine indwelling. The Holy Trinity came to live within you. And as long as you remain in the state of grace, he stays there. Good reason to stay in the state of grace, all right? You know, St. Paul says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so God knows you from the inside out. And so call upon him, as Jesus did. Use the words of sacred scripture, for example, to help you. Use simply the holy name of Jesus. If you find yourself in temptation, just start saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do you know what you're saying if you say that? You're saying, God saves, God saves, God saves. That's what Jesus means. God has also given you a guardian angel who also knows you from the inside and can protect you. Very powerfully, when you find yourself in temptation or something like that, say, Holy Guardian Angel, surround me, protect me. And He will. Your guardian angel will do that for you. I said this, I think the way I said this last night maybe didn't come off quite the way I meant it. Anyhow, got kind of a chuckle at first. I said, ever since I came to Murfreesboro, I've been feeling a greater sense of the diabolical or the evil of the evil one. You know, it does, I'm not saying that has to do with Murfreesboro per se, but also, and that's true, but also I have felt much more powerfully than I ever have a sense of divine protection. We really need to know this. We need to know how to deal with temptation. Jesus doesn't need to know how to deal with temptation. He ain't going to fall for it. But he allows himself to be tempted so that we can learn from him how to deal with it. And the way that not to deal with it is to think, oh, I can go and play around with the devil. I can outfox the devil. I can kind of like get kind of curious about this. I can deal with things that I know are wrong, but as long as I stay 1/2 inch on this side of mortal sin, you're a goner already. You're a goner. Instead, wrap yourself in that divine protection that is given to us. You know, there's an image in the scriptures of the devil. It's like he's a roaring lion prowling around for whom he can devour. You know? But he's like a lion in a zoo or something like that. He's in a cage. He can't get to you unless you like climb in there with him. Okay? And if you do, heaven help you. But as long as you stay with Jesus Christ, if you stay in that state of grace, if you rely on that divine indwelling. Yesterday was really great. We had the sacrament of confirmation conferred here. 120 young people in our parish in a packed church with our bishop here. And that was, again, a new influx of the divine indwelling into their lives, of God himself living within them. Of the divine protection of the heavenly host. I'll call upon your saints, your patron saints as well, to pray for you as well. They're all far more powerful than the evil one. But he's more powerful than you are. So don't go it alone. And don't be foolish. If it was good enough for Jesus to keep the devil in the dark, I think it's good enough for us.